In one of the most beautiful prayers ever offered, the Savior of the world invoked the blessings of the Father upon his apostles. He sensed his time was near when he was to leave them. He prayed, "And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come unto thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world. Even so I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil." Members of the church are constantly being reminded that even though we are in the world, we should not be of the world. What do we mean by the world? President McKay refers to it as those alienated from the saints of God. They are aliens to the Church of Jesus Christ. It is the spirit of this alienation from which we should keep ourselves free, he said. Elder Bruce McConkie defines the world as the social conditions created by such inhabitants of the world as live carnal, sensuous, lustful lives, and who are not part of the natural man, and who have put off the natural man by obedience to the laws and ordinances of the gospel. John, in his epistle, describes the world as the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. He said, love not the world, neither the things of that are in the world. If any man love the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. It is obvious that the world, as referred to by the Savior, does not mean the sphere on which we live, but is an environment created by individuals who live contrary to his teachings. Just as the Savior prayed that his apostles would not be taken out of the world, be kept from the evil of the world, so are we, as members of the church everywhere, praying that by the power of the Holy Ghost and the priesthood, we may be strengthened to withstand the world. We would not want to be free from our responsibilities of being taken out of the world, for this life is a probationary state. The world is our opportunity to prove ourselves. This is a part of the great plan of the Lord, to be confronted with the things of the world, that we might overcome them and be strengthened. As the Lord showed Abraham the creations of the earth, he said, "We will go down, for there is space there, and we will take of the materials, and we will make an earth wherein we may dwell. And we will prove them herewith, and see if they will do all things whatsoever the Lord their God shall command them." It is important that we individually overcome the world, that every man may act in doctrine and principle pertaining to futurity, according to the moral agency which has been given unto him, that every man may be accountable for his own sins in the day of judgment, says the Lord. Lehi taught, for it must needs be that there is opposition in all things. If not so, righteousness could not be brought to pass, neither wickedness, neither holiness, neither misery, neither good nor bad. It matters not what our nationality, our race, our culture, our academic degree, our political or social standing. We build security and strength in our lives by living the gospel. President Joseph Fielding Smith said, "There is no cure for the ills of the world except in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our hope for peace, for temporal and spiritual prosperity, and for the eventual inheritance in the kingdom of God is found only in and through the restored gospel." May I say to members of the church everywhere, this is how we establish Zion where we live: by living the gospel, by being pure in heart, by being worthy. The Lord has defined Zion as being the pure in heart. "Let Zion rejoice," he said, For this is Zion, the pure in heart. Therefore, let Zion rejoice while all the wicked mourn. Since Zion is defined as the pure in heart, those who make up Zion must be free from worldly practices and indulgences. President Lee said in the last April conference, "The rule by which the people of God must live in order to be worthy of acceptance in the sight of God is indicated in this scripture." And then he quoted, "For Zion must increase in beauty, in holiness, her borders must be enlarged, her stakes must be strengthened. Yea, verily I say unto you, Zion must arise and put on her beautiful garments." As President McKay referred to Zion as the pure in heart, he said, "The strength of the church lies in the purity of thought and lives of its members. Then the testimony of Jesus abides in the soul, and strength comes to each individual to withstand the evils of the world." The righteous lives of members of the church throughout the world is a great leaven to the great gospel loaf. There are many wonderful, honest men and women in the world whose lives are influenced by the teachings of the gospel as seen in the virtuous lives of good members of the church. Everything in the world is not evil. There are many things of virtue, many great men and women working for the finer things of life who have high standards and live righteously. Possibly a good definition of the world would be exposure to things about us, whether good or evil, right or wrong. President Lee said on one occasion to the youth of the church, "We don't pray that you be withdrawn from into a Shangri-La, away from the evils of the world, because you are to be leaven wherever you are, to bring about righteousness. But we are pleading with the Lord that you all that with all our might, that while you are in the world, you might be kept from evil." There is a great challenge in living in the world. The concern is not where we live, but how we live. Obedience to the laws of the Lord bring happiness and peace. We never need apologize for living the standards of the church. Listen to two stalwart members of the church who have proven this in their lives. President John K. Edmonds, now president of the Salt Lake Temple, was an outstanding attorney in Chicago for over a quarter of a century. He said, "During my life in Chicago, I have never felt the necessity of indulging in alcohol or tobacco or tea or coffee, or have I ever served them in my home. I have never felt the need to apologize for observance of church standards. I have found no magic formula for keeping the standards of the church. To me, the observance of these standards is a matter of will. God gives to every man and woman, to every boy and girl, who sincerely desires it, the power to keep the commandments." End of quote. DeWitt J. Paul, now serving as a mission president in California, who was an executive of one of the nation's largest financial institutions, says, "Adhering to gospel standards has never stood in my way. Quite to the contrary, doing so has been an asset rather than a liability. Moreover, I have not had any difficulty or found it embarrassing. In a world of rather wishy-washy conviction, one who believes in something and lives in accordance with his belief is usually admired and respected. I never appreciated this so much as when the chairman of the board of directors of my company one day said to the board members, 'I am retiring, and I propose Mr. Paul as my successor.' As you know, Mr. Paul is a Mormon. Mormons have rather high standards to live by, and among other things, they don't smoke or drink. I have kept my eye on this fellow for many years, and never once have I seen him make a slip. I recommend him to you as a man of integrity." And then he says further, President Paul says, "It is my experience that there are a lot of fine people in the world. Just because they don't have my outlook on life has never given me reason to alienate them through prudish self-righteousness. Perhaps therein lies the secret of living in the world without being a part of the world." End of quotation. We are living in the most glorious time since the creation of the world. Never before has man been able to do so many remarkable things, see and know so much about the world, have so many conveniences, enjoy so many luxuries. We're living in the dispensation of the fullness of times, in which the Lord said, I will gather together all things which are things both which are in heaven and which are in earth. For I design to reveal unto my church things which have been kept hid from the foundation of the world, things that pertain to the dispensation of the fullness of times. The prophet Joel prophesied of the times in which we live when he said, And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaidens in those days will I pour out my spirit. I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth. The Lord has already commenced to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. Since the restoration of the gospel, the Spirit of the Lord has inspired men in the world to accomplish things almost unbelievable to those who behold them. We are able to travel all over the world at incredible speeds. Inventions too numerous to mention bless the lives of the inhabitants of the world. President Wilford Woodruff described this day when he said, The day has already dawned when the light of heaven is to fill the earth. The day in which the Lord has said nothing shall be kept hidden. The day in which everything that has been kept from the knowledge of man, even since the foundation of the earth, must be revealed. It is the day in which the gospel is to be preached unto every nation, tongue, and people for a witness that of what shall follow. The prophet Joseph Smith, as he wrote an editorial for the Times and Seasons in 1842, said something regarding the purpose of the church and also of the great joy of living in this day. He said, The building of Zion is a cause that has interested the people of God in every age. It is a theme upon which prophets, priests, and kings have dwelt with peculiar delight. They have looked forward with joyful anticipation into the day in which we live. And fired with heavenly and joyful anticipation, they have sung and written and prophesied of this day, but they died without the sight. May we appreciate the privilege we have, the privilege that is ours in living in this time, in the beautiful, wonderful world in which we live. May we let the gospel light guide us to be in the world and yet not partake of the evil of the world. I so ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.